dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio for a very special broadcast from the Conservative Political Action Conference, where we are monitoring the state of the war for the free world, and I'm hoping enabling us to do a better job of it with the help of the thousands of conservative activists who are here and demonstrating their commitment to our country and the need to protect it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It is a great privilege to have with us here on Radio Row a frequent guest that we usually have to catch up with from afar. He is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He is these days the Major General Matthew C. Horner, Distinguished Chair of Military Theory at the Marine Corps University. He is a very active contributor to the intellectual content of this war of ideas, and will be doing so massively in a new book coming out from Regnery in April entitled Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War. I welcome that news, Sebastian Gorka. Welcome. Good to have you with us as always.
Wonderful to be back on your show. Thank you, Frank.
Now, I imagine, not having seen the book yet, that its leitmotif is that jihad is a many-splendored thing, as they say, that it isn't just that very obvious and very dangerous manifestation in the form of the Islamic State, but something much bigger. Would you set the stage for us by talking about the global jihad movement, as you call it?
Absolutely right, Frank. So the premise of the book is that what we face today and have done since 9/11 and even before 9/11 is really a totalitarian ideology that has deep roots going back to the Muslim Brotherhood, to the dissolution of the caliphate originally in the 20th century, and that we have to understand that this ideology has various expressions. One of them was Al Qaeda. Today, the most effective expression of global jihadism is the Islamic State, is the new caliphate. But it's really about an ideology that defines itself in antithesis to everything America stands for. So if you take the American Constitution and put next to it the founding charter of the Muslim Brotherhood or Hamas or let's say any of the organizations associated with front groups in America that are connected to the Brotherhood, they define themselves against individual liberty, against freedom and democracy. And once again, America is facing a totalitarian ideology. First it was the Nazis, then it was the communists, now it's global jihad.
You started that accounting by talking about an organization that is mostly neglected, it seems, in this country, certainly not well understood. We've had the director of the Office of National Intelligence, the Director of National Intelligence, I should say, James Clapper at one point, actually describing this as a social welfare organization that is largely secular in character and has no overarching agenda, at least internationally. And Sebastian Gorka, you've gone to school on these guys. Describe whether that's an accurate depiction, and if not, what it actually is, the Brotherhood, and how it relates to all of these other groups that you itemized, the violent ones.
You used the phrase, Frank, many splendid thing. I'm going to simply say a many faceted thing. The Brotherhood represents itself in different ways to different audiences. When they're meeting with the American ambassador in Cairo, oh, we're just a bunch of Democrats who want to run for elections. And unfortunately, people who don't crack open a history book don't understand that this organization has killed prime ministers, killed heads of state, blown up civilians, murdered all kinds of individuals who resist them. The Muslim Brotherhood is an overt political organization in the Middle East, banned in many countries, including its homeland of Egypt, but also a covert, an underground, subversive organization with an international network, whether it's organizations involved in the Holy Land Foundation trial here in America, the largest federal terrorist financing trial in American history, or whether it's groups that come out of it and become violent and jihadi. They're all fathered, they're all sired by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Seb, I'm very pleased that you mentioned the Holy Land Foundation trial, because among other things, as you well know, that put into evidence and thereby made public a wealth of information about the jihad and specifically about the Muslim Brotherhood and its front operations in this country and the extent to which they're very aggressively not only raising funds but engaging, as you say, in acts of subversion. I'd like you to comment on I don't want to call it a controversy exactly, but there is now a concerted effort being made, as I'm sure you know, by the leftists on the one hand and the jihadists on the other, that one of the documents that was put into evidence, the explanatory memorandum on the general strategic goal of the group in North America, is actually just the rantings of an odd, you know, individual and has no standing whatsoever with respect to the Brotherhood, let alone is indicative of this subversive, seditious, stealthy civilization jihad, as they call it, assault on every institution of the United States government, as well as our civil society. Would you calibrate the explanatory memorandum for us based on your expert understanding of it?
I'd be glad to, and I'd also recommend that all your listeners get a hold of the standalone version that you have published at the Center on Security Policy. So this is a very well thought out, multi-phased plan to undo what Western civilization stands for. Like any good totalitarian, the Brotherhood understands that to go up physically against your enemy in an all-out conventional war, that's costly, that's difficult, and many regimes have tried it.
Especially when they're stronger than you are.
Exactly. So what's the other way to win your war? The way that the Soviet Union subverted us from the inside. You put in agents of influence. They don't have to be your paid espionage operatives. But if you can influence U.S. policy, then you can get to that place where you can actually win. And one of the most interesting things is what organizations like CARE, which is an unindicted co-conspirator.
The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE.
When they advise federal law enforcement on what should and should not be said in American counterterrorism training, that's one way to slowly win this war. I had a student at the National Defense University who expressed it thusly, and I couldn't do it better myself. If you're in a war and your enemy can control what you're allowed to say about him, then you're already losing that war. And that's one way that the Muslim Brotherhood understands they can defeat us.
To what extent, in your study of the ideological wars that I call the war for the free world, did the communists teach the Muslim Brotherhood how to wage this kind of subversive activity? And secondly, quickly, to what extent have we, in the 25 years since the explanatory memorandum was written, see its faithful execution by the Brotherhood, another indicator of its fidelity to the facts and the truth?
I couldn't express it better. I could answer both those questions by quoting the author of Czechisti, Jack Ziak. Jack Ziak, a career DIA professional, has demonstrated very ably that the Soviet Union created the concept of the national security state, and they exported it to the Middle East. And the Muslim Brotherhood has learned these tools, how you use subversion, intelligence, the influence warfare as an institutionalized approach to weaken your enemies. That was very much handed down from one totalitarian regime to another and then inherited by an international network.
And how faithfully has the Brotherhood's operations since 1991 executed the explanatory memorandum?
One great case study is, of course, Egypt. What did they do in Egypt? They said, oh, we're no longer violent, we're good guys. They ran for election, and as soon as they won an election, what did they do? they'd started to try and turn Egypt into a theocracy, into a caliphate. What happened? A very brave man who I've met, General Sisi, said, I'm a Muslim, but I'm an Egyptian first. And he removed the threat to Egypt, and the Egyptian events, which unfortunately the U.S. administration supported the wrong side in those events.
The Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood is a perfect case study, Frank.
It is a perfect case study. Seb Gorka, thank you for your expertise on all these matters. We look forward with great expectation to the publication of Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War, and to having you back for a further detailed discussion of it. Keep up the good work, my friend, at the Marine Corps University. God bless you. Next up, we have our weekly visit with Gordon Chang. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.